Are you ready? All right!
Welcome back to What's at Risk. I'm Mike Christian.
Everybody now!
We'd all like to maintain our lifestyles as long as we live, without burdening our children, our grandchildren, our friends, or society at large. Assets, income sources, and lifestyle expectations differ, of course, but otherwise, everyone's in the same boat. No one can predict the future. Rich or poor, we are all subject to events beyond our control. The uncertainty of the markets, pensions, taxes, healthcare, rising costs, and above all, the impossibility of quantifying in advance how long we will need retirement income. Indeed, unknowns of this sort have beset humankind throughout history. Though many of these risks are part of life, the secret to a successful retirement is to address the challenges they present and do it now. Ask retirees to name their biggest financial regret, they almost invariably say that it is having saved inadequately for retirement. The issue is not one of having a lot of money or the things that money can buy. Retirement planning is not about living an extravagant lifestyle. Rather, it's about making choices now when you still have time to influence your future.
I thought I was doing all the right things. Of my earnings, they advised me to put it in a mutual fund, something quite diverse and safe without question. But oh no, look at it go.
Bailouts, Ponzi schemes, plunging markets. With all of today's dire headlines, you may feel overwhelmed by the prospect of planning and providing for your retirement. Adding to this stress is the fact that financial mistakes made close to or during retirement can be disproportionately costly. Typically, more money is at stake and any losses take longer to recover. But devising a retirement survival strategy need not cause panic. The AARP Retirement Survival Guide, written by money manager Julie Jason, explains how to use easily accessible financial resources to enhance your retirement and achieve financial security.
I work hard on two jobs, about to kill my food self. They say when I retire, there will be no money left. Let me tell you, and I hope you understand. You just better live for today and forget about your retirement plan.
Julie Jason is a personal money manager who began her career as a securities lawyer 30 years ago. She is principal of Jackson Grant Investment Advisors of Stamford, Connecticut, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Jackson Grant serves conservative retirees who want to create retirement income.
I'm gonna go out dancing every night. I'm gonna see all the city lights. I'm do everything silver and gold. I got to hurry up before I grow too old. I'm gonna take a trip around the world. I'm gonna kiss all the pretty girls. I'm do everything silver and gold. And I got to hurry up before I grow too old.
A proponent of investor protection, Jason writes and lectures on investment topics. Her award-winning weekly column, published in the Sunday business sections of the Stamford Advocate and the Greenwich Time, is in its 10th year of publication. The column has been recognized by the IRS for accurate, timely, informative, and helpful tax information, and by the Connecticut Society of Journalists and Authors for excellence in journalism.
Speaking with Julie Jason, the author of the AARP Retirement Survival Guide. So we have this retirement bubble coming up with the aging of the baby boomer generation, of which I am one. And with reduced investment portfolios and longer lifespans and all the stuff that's going on today, are the baby boomers financially prepared to retire?
Well, you know, some are and some aren't, and now's the time to figure that out. So here's what I recommend everyone in your listening audience to do as an assignment. I love to give homework assignments. It's to just sit down and figure out, pretend you're going to retire on Monday. This is something good to do on a Saturday or Sunday. Just pretend you're going to retire on Monday and see how long your retirement will last. And that exercise will help you understand how much money is coming into the household, how much money is leaving the household, and how much you have in savings, and whether it all fits together.
Along those lines, then, how does one start to understand how much money they'll actually need in retirement, particularly from an expense standpoint?
Yeah, you have to start with today because, you know, who knows what tomorrow will bring. So it always helps to start with what are your basic expenses for living today? So I'm talking about not five pairs of shoes, but one pair of shoes or, you know, five pairs of sneakers, one pair of sneakers, basic living expenses, and then categorize all that. And then everything else that you spend, put that into an indulgence category. And if you can cover your basic living expenses with Social Security and pension, then you are home free because the indulgences can come out of your savings. Now, that may sound like it's very difficult to do, but a surprising number of people can do it. It all has to do with cash flows, and it all has to do with your lifestyle. So the bigger your lifestyle, the less important Social Security will be. The less your lifestyle, the more important Social Security will be. Social Security is based on a progressive formula, and a large number of listeners will be able to continue their lifestyle if they can cover their essential expenses with Social Security and pension. And that's a key insight. It sounds so simple, but it is an insight that many people miss.
Do you think as people go through this exercise, they tend to either overestimate or underestimate the time they'll live in retirement?
How long you will live in retirement? I would always, you know, go for 30 years. So if you're 65, estimate 30 years. That'll be safe. To really do the right job, you have to factor in inflation. But for an individual to do that, actually factor in inflation, it's probably meaningless. And who knows what inflation will be in the future. So at least doing your expenses today and understanding how much you spend today and how much you might be spending to just pay for essential expenses will give you a lot of information.
You use a term in your book called replacement ratio. What exactly is that, and how does one determine the appropriate amount?
Also an excellent question. Replacement ratio is an easy tool to help you understand how much money you need to have after retirement. If your lifestyle will be equal to what it was before you retired, then you're replacing 100% of your pre-retirement income after you retire. There are studies that say that after you retire, most people need to have 75% of their pre-retirement income replaced. Other people challenge that and say, well, wait a minute, I'm going to be traveling after I retire, so I need more money than pre-retirement. So in that case, you might have a replacement ratio of 125% or something like that.
Or it might change as you go through retirement also,
well,
obviously. Maybe higher at the beginning and then start to trend down over time.
Very important point, because people tend to travel less as they get older. Sometimes medical expenses do go up, however, as people get older. So you never really know. And that's another important point, that this whole exercise is not a question of trying to become very certain about the future, but it's just trying to be, all it is trying to be aware of what you can control and what you cannot control. So, for example, the economy you cannot control. Your health you can't, well, you can have some control over your health, but some medical expenses you will not be able to control. You can't control finances, the external finances, so you can't control what the financial markets will do. But what you can control is how you spend money.
The price of living's bound to keep on going up and up as we begin to dip in Social Security's broken cup. Healthcare costs are rocketing way too high to fall, and it seems most folks in Washington don't give a damn at all. We're the baby boomers, we're the baby boomers, zipping down the freeway, shopping at the mall. Deficits are growing, and lately there's been rumors there's far too many of us to take care of us all.
We're speaking with Julie Jason, the author of the AARP Retirement Survival Guide.
So we talk about expenses. Now, if we go to the income side of the equation, you mentioned Social Security. What are some other things that people should think about as far as sources of retirement income?
Well, you really want to understand how much money will be coming in from pension and from Social Security, because those are the quote-unquote guaranteed sources of income that will last a lifetime. And, of course, you know, in some cases, a company pension may not last you a lifetime, but hopefully it will. But you always have to have a starting point. That's your starting point. The other sources of income come from your investments, or they may come from commercial real estate that you might own, or a rental property that you might own. So understanding each one of those income sources is key.
When we talk about Social Security, do we think the baby boomers can rely on that as a predictable source of income out over the next 30 or 40 years?
Boy, is that a hot potato item to talk about. there's debate about whether or not Social Security will be there for future generations. And, of course, a lot of it will depend on demographics, and a lot of it will depend on what goes on in Congress right now, how money is spent. If we spend more money than is coming in, you know, we'll have an issue. But that's one of those areas where you can't really control it, so that you work with what you've got and you try to improve on your situation rather than worry about whether it's going to be there. Now, having said that, the more secure approach would be, of course, to have other sources of income outside of Social Security.
When you calculate how long your retirement money will last, what are some of the common pitfalls that you mention in your book that could lead to people making false assumptions?
One of the things that I see quite often, and it way too often, is that there's some people who are approaching retirement have to make a decision as to what financial advisor to use. And some people choose the financial advisor who paints a rosier view. It may not be realistic, and yet that's the way people go. They go with someone who's promising a 10% withdrawal rate versus a 3% withdrawal rate, and that's not always the wise course of action. So I think you avoid mistakes if you are more conservative. You avoid mistakes if you don't try to hit home runs. You avoid mistakes if you don't go with someone who's promising you something that doesn't seem like it's deliverable. And that also helps you avoid Ponzi schemes as well, such as the Madoff Ponzi scheme, in which people were attracted because of the promises that were just too good to be true. Everyone was losing money. In that situation, there were no losses. There were consistent gains. So it helps you develop a healthy skepticism, and that's the rule. You know, the rule is be a skeptic, avoid anything that looks too good to be true, and evaluate everything that you're shown.
So let's say you're 55 years old today, and you do all the calculations that you talk about in your book, and you discover you're not going to have enough money to retire at 65. What steps can you take now to mitigate that?
Also a good question. There's a chapter, chapter 6, that deals specifically with how you catch up. And people will be surprised that there are little things that you can do that will make a big difference. I'll just give you one example. Many times you'll run across people who say that they cannot afford to participate in their 401k plan. Well, there's a way to do that by changing your withholding allowances. So you can actually set up your 401k so that you can contribute to the 401k without reducing your take-home pay. And that's huge. Now, not everyone can do that, but it's worth exploring whether or not you can. And in the book, you'll see an explanation of how you change your withholding allowances to be able to participate in your 401k, save for retirement, without lowering your paycheck.
And that's particularly valuable if your employer also matches your...
Oh, absolutely. It's one of the nice things about 401ks is that you have not only tax deferral, but you are putting in your money on a pre-tax basis, which you cannot do otherwise. And then in addition, if your employer matches, it's just the best way to achieve retirement wealth over a period of time. So you must check out your 401k.
Hey, Ray, I hear you just had a birthday.
Huh?
Well, I'm getting ready to have a bad one myself.
Oh, well, that's not too bad.
We're spending all our kids' money.
They're not laughing, but we think it's funny.
Retired. Bought a Winnebago. Retired. Going where we want to go. Retired. Where it's never 10 below. It's a discount world for me since I joined AARP. Retired.
We'd leave a tip, but did we mention we're living on a pension and retired? Yes, we're retired.
We're speaking with Julie Jason, the author of the AARP Retirement Survival Guide.
You have a chapter in there, or a portion of the book, that talks about creating your own pension. How would one go about doing that?
This is especially for people who have only Social Security benefits but no company pension, and they have assets that they can deploy to create their own pension. And there's a type of annuity, and by the way, be careful with annuities because there's so many different types, but this particular type of annuity that I'm talking about is called an immediate annuity, and it's a plain vanilla annuity that's been around since the 50s, and it is a pension substitute. So basically what you're doing is you're taking cash out of your savings to purchase this instrument, which is an insurance product, and you're transferring the risk of living too long to the insurance company, and then the insurance company takes on that risk and pays you for life. Again, if you are at all considering any kind of annuity, be sure to understand what type of annuity is, because not all annuities are created equal. They're very, very different products, and some are pure insurance products like this one, and some are insurance and security products. So they're a combination of investment products and insurance products. There are a lot of these products out in the marketplace right now that promise lifelong income. Some promise an increased payment, which can offset inflation, and some promise participation in the stock market with downside protection. So there are a lot of very intriguing promises that are available today, and it's worth your look. And one more thing, they're complicated products, so you really need to look beneath the surface. And what I do in part two of the book is I take people through a way to evaluate these products so that you can come out at least knowing what to expect in a sales presentation. It prepares you for that sales presentation.
Now, there's a whole vast array and many dizzying options about where people can put their money from what are viewed as so-called safe investments like annuities and CDs and things like that to the stock market. Can you just comment a little bit on how each of those play into your retirement plan?
Well, it's a very personal exercise. So what happens is that one person will be more risk-averse and another person will be able to take on more risk. And person A will have less money, person B will have more money, and all of them may have different needs for how much they need to take out of their investment. So it's a very, very personal endeavor to figure out how to structure your retirement income mix. So it's very hard to draw conclusions, but as a general rule, what you want to do is avoid as much risk as possible because there's a risk-return payoff. You want to get the most out of your investments at the least amount of risk. So very personal. You have to really sit down and do your homework and look at your own situation before you can come up with that mix. And you also need the right advisor on your side. Some people don't need an advisor, and there's a test in the book to determine whether or not you do. It's a self-assessment test that takes you through how much time you'd like to spend on research, et cetera, and helps you decide whether or not you should be your own advisor. And then you also need to be able to discern whether you're dealing with someone who is good at creating wealth or good at managing retirement income. So after you retire, you really need to work with someone who understands how to create retirement income for you. And if you are working with someone who is going to make recommendations that are purely recommendations, so you know, many times you'll be working with someone who will recommend that you buy X or Y or Z, but that's his job. His job is to make recommendations, and your job is to consider those recommendations. Well, now, in that particular case, you are the portfolio manager. In retirement, you may want to find someone who will actually take that burden off your shoulders. You may want to hire a portfolio manager. So you have to think about those things. Depends on your situation, depends on how much experience you have, depends on what you're looking for from a financial advisor.
Now, for many of us, our house is our greatest asset. How does that play into our views on retirement and to how do we maximize the equity and the value that's in the house to help us through our retirement years?
One thing that we really have to think about is that, you know, it used to be that you could sell your house and scale down and live off the proceeds for the rest of your life. So think about that. You know, is that possible? That still may be possible in some parts of the country. It may be possible to have the same lifestyle that you have today in another part of the country in a scaled-down version. So that's one way to look at a house. Another way to look at a house from a skeptic's point of view is you don't want to have a mortgage on your house when you retire. So you want to be mortgage-free. What can you do to lessen the mortgage before you retire? And then the third way to look at a home is if you have no way to pay for retirement, can your home act as a piggy bank for you? And the way you do that is with a reverse mortgage. Now, on reverse mortgages, however, I again have a skeptic's point of view, and I say, wait, before you do the reverse mortgage, consider all other options, and also make sure you understand how the reverse mortgage can turn against you. So some reverse mortgages have default provisions in them that you must understand. So you have to just explore the default provisions before you get into the reverse mortgage.
Julie, any final tips for the listeners?
Yeah, I actually do. One of the things that I find is that in my experience working with retirees for more than 20 years and pre-retirees, I find that there's few characteristics of the successful retirees. And one of them is not to be afraid of uncertainty, to embrace it and focus on what you can control. And that brings us to cash flow, which we talked about. Also, there is an understanding that less is more, that when you're in retirement, you don't need to acquire things. That makes a successful retiree. Also, to be able to cover essential expenses with pension and Social Security or the pension substitute like the immediate annuity. If the basic expenses can be covered, it just makes for a more secure retiree. And then to be adaptable. Things changed after retirement, but it's also a personal journey. So you have to be focused on yourself and be sure that you understand your cash flows, your situation, how you invest, et cetera. And the adaptability is key. So I like to remind people of the old Frank Sinatra song, I Did It My Way, that really applies after retirement.
Yeah, that's good advice. We've been speaking with Julie Jason, the author of the AARP Retirement Survival Guide. Is there a website, Julie?
Yes, and in fact, you can email me, too, at readers at juliejason.com, and Jason is spelled just like the guy's name, Jason, J-A-S-O-N. So readers at juliejason.com.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I traveled each and every highway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way.
That's it for this week's edition of What's at Risk. I'd like to thank our special guests tonight, Joseph Cardillo, the author of Can I Have Your Attention?, and Julie Jason, the author of the AARP Retirement Survival Guide. I'd like to thank our producer, Johnny Pfister of Ringo Studio, and our associate producer, Scott Cooper. Let us know what you're thinking about by sending us an email at whatsatrisk@risk-strategies.com. Tell us what's on your mind.
Podcasts of What's at Risk are available at the WBZ.com on the air drop-down menu by clicking on What's at Risk. You've been listening to What's at Risk, heard every Saturday night on WBZ News Radio 1030 and streaming on WBZ.com.
Run the risk.